towards the back. That's fine. I'll try and talk to the back. That's fine. But great. Yeah, it's really good to have you here this evening. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Rob. Not many of you will notice me being stood here. I'm usually next door and working with a lot of our young people. But they've let me loose this week. They've let me loose on you. So let's see how we get on. But tonight we're going to be having a look at the parables. This is a series that Rosie started a couple of weeks ago, and a series that we're going to work through over the summer. Just to let you know, as from this, after this evening, we'll be heading down into the Taylor Room for the next kind of maybe 4 or 5 weeks. And each week a different person, maybe someone that doesn't speak very much in church, maybe somebody who you may not have even heard from before, is going to come and kind of share their favourite parable or a parable with you that they maybe feel God's got something to say through. So the parable that I chose tonight came about because of a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago. A few weeks ago I was down home seeing some of my family and we got talking about God, which is always a good thing to talk about. And this particular parable came up and it really got me thinking actually about what this parable means, about what this parable has to say to us today. And that parable is the parable of the lost sheep. Now, when I think about sheep or shepherds, or I read anything in the Bible about these things, instantly what usually comes into my mind is home. So I grew up in the Yorkshire Dales in Wensleydale, which is surrounded by fields and sheep and cows. A lot of the friends that I went to school with are farmers, continue to do so, and will continue to be that. And I actually think this is fundamentally what parables are about. It's a way of the way that Jesus used to communicate his truth, using everyday situations and contexts that we can all easily relate to. So actually this parable stuck out for me particularly because of just the experience I've got of kind of knowing about sheep and all these kind of things. So we're going to have a look at Luke 15. So if you'd like to turn with me to Luke 15, you can follow me along in your Bibles if you like, or all the important bits will be up on the screen. So Luke 15, and we're going to start in verse 3. So Luke 15, verse 3. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you communicate in many different ways, Lord. Lord, whether that be parables or prayer, Lord, I pray this evening that we would just hear from you, that we would learn more about you, and we would come to know you in a better understanding, Father. In your name, amen. So Rosie said last week that she thought she'd picked one of the shortest parables to speak on. Actually, I think I've beaten her this week. We've only got like 4 or 5 verses here. But actually, what this parable, I think, tells us, it shows us the heart of God. It shows us the heart of God that he has for us, his people, and his followers. But one thing that I think we struggle with when it comes to parables is we think it's a really nice story. I often hear people go, oh yeah, really, I get that. I can create a picture in my head. I can understand where that's going. But actually, I don't know what it means. I don't understand how I am to apply this to my life. I don't understand what I want to do with this. So tonight, I want to take this section, and I want to really look at what it's saying, and I want to really look at who, in particular, he was speaking to and what he was speaking about. So first and foremost, let's get the characters out of the way. I think the shepherd in this story is obviously God, and I believe that the sheep here are his followers. Now, what I was saying earlier about Jesus using context and situations that he found himself in, this one would have been very apparent. Shepherds in Judea had a very hard task. They would have been known for having a very hard task. Not unlike Scotland, it's quite warm in Judea. So actually, they don't really have fields like we have. They wouldn't have had nice square fields like a lot of the farmers that I know have, where they could have fenced all their sheep in. They could have put them in and not worried about them. Actually, they would have been working on narrow central plateaus that would have been surrounded by cliffs and desert. that if a sheep was to wander away from its flock merely by a few meters, could have fallen to its death or disappeared into the desert. So just before we kind of go into this passage more, just before we have a look at exactly what it's saying, I want you to ask this question to the person next to you. And that, who is the one person that you would do anything or go anywhere for? Discuss. Bit of a tricky question, I know. In like 30 seconds. Jesus and God doesn't count. That's the Sunday school answer. Doesn't count. Great. So the reason I asked you this question, to get you thinking about that, is I think this is what this parable is demonstrating, this very idea. So we know that a shepherd, even now and in the times of when Jesus was speaking, would do anything for his sheep. He would go anywhere. He would track them. He would be there night and day. He'd track them when they were lost and had strayed away. He would be there most of the day, maybe even into the night as well. He would have known all his sheep, might have even named them all, but he would have definitely known if one of them was missing from where it should be. And as I said, I think in this parable that the shepherd represents God and the sheep represent men. But even when we were up at the picnic this afternoon, I was having a conversation with someone about the passage that I was going to be speaking on. And what they said to me was, oh, that's the disputed one, isn't it? And I was like, oh, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, well, lots of people think the sheep are different people. Like, are they God's followers? Are they people who haven't yet decided to follow God? Who are they? And that was really interesting because I think a lot of us just jump to different conclusions with this parable. But actually, the interesting thing is that as well as reading this parable in Luke, we also find it in Matthew. And when reading them both in prep for tonight and working out which one I was going to use, I began to wonder, actually, if the sheep that we read about in Luke are in a different place in their belief in God to the sheep that we read about in Matthew. So let's just put this into context. So this particular parable in Luke comes in a time just as Jesus has been meeting with some of his people. And in Luke 15, 1 to 2, we read that now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him, drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So we all know that Jesus hung out with people that he wasn't supposed to. He hung out with people that society told him that he shouldn't be hanging out with. He shouldn't be speaking to them. He shouldn't be helping to them. We just read from this passage that he was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And all throughout the New Testament, we read of different people that he shouldn't have been speaking to. And I actually wonder how many people here this evening, or how many people in this city or this world wonder if they even belong in church. Maybe they're thinking because of what society has told them about them, whether they are good enough, whether they are the things they're feeling are not the things they should be feeling if they're going to be in church. I come from a non-Christian background, and every time I go home, one of my friends or somebody always says to me, "Oh, you're one of those Christians. Should you be doing that? Should you be saying those things? Should you be doing this? Are you not meant to be perfect?" And actually, I wonder if society is telling people who are searching and who are looking for something, who are searching for something more, are being told that they're not even good enough to be here. I work with a lot of young people, and a conversation I had a couple of months ago went along the lines of this. I invited them to church. I said they should come along, test it out. They'd never really been to church for many years. And they responded to me by saying, "Rob, but the walls might fall down if I walk into that building with everything that I've done." I believe that the lost sheep in Luke represent people who are yet to believe. They don't even understand that they're lost. They're searching for something, but they don't know what. And I wonder, actually, if sometimes the reason they're not looking in church is because society tells them that they're not even meant to be here. When I was also thinking about this passage, I thought about lambs and sheep. And can anybody tell me of a time when they've set off on a journey planning to get lost? Nobody's got in the car and gone, "Oh, I know what we'll do today. We'll go for a drive and we'll just get lost. Or we'll go for a walk. Oh, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't mind. Let's just get lost." Nobody does that. That's not what we do. And I think it's exactly the same and with lambs and sheep. They don't leave their flock. They don't leave their mother or their father knowing they're going to get lost, knowing they're going to fall down a cliff or never be seen again. And I believe this is exactly the same with humans. God created each and every one of us. We're all part of his flock. And at some point, we have all wandered off. We've all left the haven that he's created for us. Some of us have returned, and some of us are still to do so. We are separated from our father and our shepherd. So earlier I spoke about the effort that a shepherd would go to find his lost sheep. An effort that he would go to search for them. And I actually think sometimes that people just need to hear that message loud and clear. That God is searching for you. You are lost and you need to be found. I think a lot of people that we work alongside, that we go to school with, university with, it's that simple message that they are missing something, that they are lost from their creator, that actually they need to hear. So my first challenge for us tonight is to think about, where are you in your belief with God? Where are you on that journey? Where are you on that walk? And do we see ourselves as part of the flock, or are we wandering around and doing life on our own? Ezekiel 34, verse 11 sums this up well, where it says, "For this says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness." For me, this passage says it all. It tells us that God himself will search out his sheep. God is not a God who is in heaven and is not bothered about us. God is not a God who doesn't mind what we get up to or what we're thinking or what we're going through. But actually is a God who is looking for us to want him, is looking for us to turn to him in our time of need. And the reason that he wants to do this is because he loves us. This morning we heard story after story of people finding community, of people finding something that they'd not grasped yet, of them finding God's love for them. And I actually wonder how many of us take that for granted, or how many of us haven't even grasped that yet. And no matter what you believe about God right now, I believe that he's still searching for you. He still wants to know you because he wants to bring you back into your rightful place. So earlier I said that we also find this parable in Matthew. But the verses before it paint a slightly different picture of the sheep. So Matthew 18, 10 and 11 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." I believe that this particular section is still talking about God being a shepherd and still talking about his followers being a sheep. But actually what Jesus is referring to here is this pastoral concern that he has for his followers. Just think of something that you particularly enjoy owning, you particularly enjoy having. Maybe it's your phone or your car, even a family member. What do you do when that thing goes missing or you can't find it? You don't just go, "Oh, it'll be fine, I'll get another one," or "I'm not bothered about it." What you actually do is you start backtracking. You look at where you've been. You start speaking to people to see if they've found it. And even in some cases, you would do anything to get it back. It's exactly the same with God. I remember when I was a teenager, and a lot of you will remember this also, and it even happens now, but you, as you are working out who you are, as you are working out what you believe and what you don't believe, the people that you want to hang out with and the people you don't want to hang out with, friendships can come and go very quickly. They can very easily disappear. One week, your best friend can be like glue stuck to each other. And the next week, you can be, you might not even speak to them because they've gone off with a different friend group or they've gone off with other people who you don't really want to hang out with. And that's just what happens. That's life. But what Jesus is explaining here is that God never gives up on that friendship. No matter who you hang out with, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you do day by day, he still wants you, even if you decide to wander away. For me, it's very like this saying that you can run, but you can't hide. A lot of us maybe try and disappear. A lot of us actually go, "I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do my own thing." Or you have that moment where you think, "It would just be easier if I could, or if I could do this." But even if you decide to act on that and you decide to do that, I want to let you know that God is not going to leave you. God is not going to desert you, and God is not going to leave you to get on with what you're going. Many of us have busy lives. We have different priorities. We have jobs. We have children. We have lots of things going on. And this can easily lead to God and our faith suffering. We can put him below other things. Other things can take priority. And we may have things that happen in our lives that we think could rule us out of being part of God's flock. Temptations, thoughts, things we've done, things we've said, secrets that we're holding on to, things that we're ashamed of. All of these different things that we think actually rule us out of being part of God's flock, rule us out of coming to church. Maybe these are eating away at us because we're embarrassed to admit it. To admit it to ourselves, to our friends, or even to God. And I think R.C. Sproul sums this up very well by saying, whether we are an unbeliever or a wandering sheep, we cannot hide from God. What ultimately needs to happen in this situation is we need to be open to being found. For those unbelievers who are yet to understand that they are lost, and for those believers who may not have even realized that they've wandered off, they need to take that moment to stop, to think, and to look back at where they are on their journey with God. Psalm 119 tells us, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The advice that we're given here is if you are lost and astray from God, seek him. Be open to him. Be open to being found. Realize you are lost and turn around. He's waiting for you there. Finally, the section that we read in the end of both parables is that when we do return, when we are found, when we are found because we are lost, that God rejoices. Now, when I read this, this sounded a bit strange. I was like, how does God rejoice? But actually, there is a party in heaven. There is a celebration of God. There is a celebration of his neighbors, just as we read in this parable. That he tells people that he is proud that you are in his family. You may have situations where you feel that you aren't very good at anything, that you aren't well known or up for much. But actually, the moment that you return to God's flock, the moment that you return to where you're meant to be, he rejoices. When someone returns to the flock, whether they are a new believer or are returning after wandering away, God rejoices and he celebrates. And this is one thing that actually working for a church is one of the most exciting things. Is hearing, just as we did this morning, the stories of God working through people, working in situations, in projects. In some situations, actually, sometimes it might be quite hard for people to believe. And one of the most exciting things is to hear when God does move, when someone does turn to God and is found by them. So my challenge for us all this evening is, are you part of God's flock? Is he your shepherd? And if he is, are you checking regularly to make sure you're still part of that flock? That you are still playing the part that you are called to play? And that you're not wandering away or becoming lost? Now, at the beginning, I mentioned that I chose this particular parable because of a conversation that I'd had recently. The person that I had it with couldn't believe that a shepherd would leave his other sheep to find the one that was missing. In his head, he would just let them go. But we know that when Jesus was delivering this parable, that is exactly what they would have done. And I actually believe today that with the value of some of these sheep that these farmers have, they would do anything they could to get them back. This parable tells us that God is on the move, that God does want to know us. And we know that we still search for lost things as we do today. And God is still searching for each and every one of us, no matter where we are. Because he wants us to follow him. And the reason why he wants us to do this is that he loves each and every one, just like the shepherd loved each and every one of his sheep. He knows us just like the shepherd knew each and every one of his sheep. And he wants us to be safe and protected. The shepherd didn't want to lose any of sheep, and that is exactly the same with God. God created each and every person, and he doesn't want to lose any one of us. So just before I pray, I just want to say that if you felt challenged by anything that was being said tonight, or you want to any prayer or to chat about it more, please do come and speak to me or anyone else, and we'd gladly do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. Lord, I thank you for this parable. Father, I pray and thank you that you do know each and every person in this room, that you do want to know them more, Father, that you do want to draw them closer to you. And Father, I pray no matter where we all are on our journey, no matter what we're doing, Father, that we would know your presence with us today. In your name, amen.